First Corinthians, please. First Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read, please, the introduction verses 1 to 9, and then a particular focus. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be, or called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that ye come behind, and this particular expression, in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we trust the Lord's blessing, and my particular focus would be on that little expression in verse number 7, ye come behind in no gift. And my thoughts today, this morning, are provoked out of some studies and Bible readings that I'm having in homes and situations, and new believers and so on, and there are questions that they're asking about gift and spiritual gift. Now, if you want to tie into what has already gone before, I think I got the answer to a lot of it today already, because you're in a whole lot of trouble as to spiritual gift if you don't know the scriptures and what the Word of God is saying. So that would be a great help. I will come back to that in a moment. The gospel coming to Corinth, our brother in closing gave a reference to Acts chapter 18, and it's wonderful to think of the gospel coming to Corinth and Paul's labors there. You know, he come into that city with the gospel. I'm excited about it when I think of how that this godly couple, Aquila and Priscilla, were there. And he was able to make contact with them. Now, in carrying the gospel, again, it's near to my heart, in visiting a number of centers and bringing the gospel and so on, it's always precious to find a couple, a Christian couple possibly, and someone, or someone that can come in on a gospel work and really be a help and see the work established and testimony established and so on. And so that has been my work, that has been somewhat my privilege, and I could give you a number of examples of that sort of situation, and that's really encouragement to have a Aquila and a Priscilla. And they were, along with Paul, were tent makers, and so he found company there. And so in going to the city, what does it say in Acts chapter 18, is it verse number 8, that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And so that was a result then of the scriptures, the message that was brought them, they heard, and there was a response. It was their believing was active, they believed, and then what a great testimony to be baptized. I wonder, I'm speaking to a company, for the most part, maybe believers on the Lord Jesus. You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are you obedient in the act of baptism? Would you obey him and be baptized? Well, those early Christians at Corinth, that was the case. Now, some years later, here's Paul, and he takes up his pen, and he's writing this here letter, 1 Corinthians, to them, likely wrote several letters to them, but we have on record 1 Corinthians. Now, I've often used 1 Corinthians in teaching new believers again something about the church and the local church and what God would have for them. And as you go through 1 Corinthians, you could be somewhat discouraged with all the problems and all the difficulties. Now, I just want to put that aside a moment. I don't want to dwell on that, because in the introduction, what you have is a whole lot of encouragement. And maybe that's the place to start. That's where Paul started. He was going to encourage and try and see these Christians built up. And so I was thinking of a list, maybe, of encouragements, and the spiritual gifts that they possessed was one of encouragement to them. We're going to come to that. But he starts off and he says, you know, in verse number 2, he speaks about the church of God. And he says, now you constitute here in Corinth the church of God. And that was the local testimony. That was the gathering of believers. The church of God in this particular context, I'm confident, is local. It has to do with the Christians at Corinth. And he's reminding them simply that it was the church of God. It belonged to God. The church was his purchase. And they were a part then of the local testimony here at Corinth. And then in verse number 2, he says also that you are sanctified and called saints. My, you know, that would be an encouragement to them as well, to realize that they were sanctified saints. Sanctified, they were set apart for God. And they were to be a people that were a holy people. They were constituted that, sanctified, set apart from God. It had to do with their standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ positionally has been sanctified, set apart for his purpose. Okay? And then he speaks here in verse 4 about the grace of God. You know, and this is just something every time I read about and think about the grace of God, I'm made to step back and wonder at the grace of God in salvation. You know, his sovereignty, the work of God, and the message that was brought to our doorstep. And we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, you know, as I know, that from beginning to end, this grace is the grace of God that finds us here in conference this weekend. The goodness and the blessings, the favor of God towards us from first to last. Then verse number 7, the spiritual gift. Verse number 7 also talks about the coming. And this was an encouragement to them, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word is revelation. He would reveal himself. And so it goes beyond just the rapture thought. We're going to stand one day, and how are they going to be presented? Blameless. Verse number 8, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in this particular section, you have the fellowship. And that would be an encouragement to them, the partnership and the sharing into which they were brought as believers there at Corinth. Now come back. I couldn't possibly, in the minutes that are at my disposal, say all I would like to say about gift, spiritual gift. But I have a little summary and a few pointers that I would direct you to, and the Word of God underlying that. So we're just going to look at spiritual gift kind of in the big overall picture, because there are those, and they're asking today, and this has provoked my thoughts, and those asking, well, what about spiritual gift, and what can I do, and what has God given me to do? And so, possibly a little direction in that. Well, first of all, let me say this about the Corinthians, you know. If they were spiritually gifted, if they had this spiritual gift, it doesn't mean necessarily that they were spiritual, okay? Because there was a lot of failure on their part. I'm going to put that aside. So when you consider the subject gift and spiritual gift, it's not really a measure of spirituality. Although those of us who have and possess spiritual gift should be spiritual men and women of God. Okay? Having said that, spiritual gift, please, is the divine enablement for serving God, really, and for the edification, the building up of others. Okay? Spiritual gift is divine enablement for serving God and for the building up of other believers, as we shall see in looking at this. Do you know the scriptures? Do I know the scriptures? And I sometimes, in speaking and working with these individuals and companies, I take them, where are the spiritual gifts found in the Word of God? Well, there are possibly four mentions, lists in the Scripture of the spiritual gifts, two of them being in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And then you got to look at Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, and possibly you got to take and you got to list out what the spiritual gifts are. And so you get a list, and having done that and sort of looked over it, there are possibly 20 different spiritual gifts. Now, in all the spiritual gifts, you got to step back and say, well, what is for me in all this? What is what the Bible calls foundational? What goes into the foundation? Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So the apostles and prophets, spiritual gift, they go into the foundation. And then you might say, what is temporary? Or what are the sign gifts, like the gifts of tongues and healings and so on? And so you got to look at that. And then you got to look at what is the permanent gifts? What are the gifts that are for me today? And you might think of the apostles, pastors, teachers. Now, this isn't going through all 20 by any means, but that would be a little summary. So first of all, you've got to look at the gifts, I believe, and see what is foundational, what goes into the early church foundation, and you have to look at the sign gifts and what is permanent and with us today. Having said that, there are certain general observations that I want to leave with you about the gifts. Remember, please, fellow believers, the gifts are divinely given from the risen head of the church. And so if you're looking out for your spiritual gift, please look up and look to the risen head of the church for direction. And I believe all Christians, all believers are gifted. They all have a spiritual gift. Now, let's just do underscore that. Turn, please, with me to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter 4 and 1 verse. Looking down, 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Again, the gifts are divinely given, and every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ is in possession of the gifts. Another general observation. All gifts are for the edification of the body of believers. I kind of emphasized that in my definition, didn't I? Spiritual gifts are for the enablement of serving God and for the edification of others. And let's quickly turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, verse number 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12. For the perfecting, I'll read verse 11 and verse 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, the maturity, the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, any gift given is not for my grandeur, is not for my boast. It's for the glory of Christ. It's for the edifying, the building up of the saints of God. And You know, there's a lot to be said about the gift of service, serving gift. And I think that our Christianity, really, that takes in a lot. And I think that there are gifts, and I come to this in a moment, they're likely gifts that every one of us possess, a number of gifts. And likely one of them is a serving gift. Okay? So you say, what is my spiritual gift? How can I discover my spiritual gift? Well, please, know what the gifts are. Know what the gifts are, number one. Get involved, number two. Get involved in the service for God. Be involved in a church testimony, in a local assembly. You know, there's lots of room. And you say, you know, believers have come to me and say, well, you know, this is missing, that's lacking, and so on. You know what? If you see that, you get in there. I should get in there and be the one to do it, to build it up. Okay? So there's lots of work to be done. It's a matter of me getting involved in the church, in the local assembly. Number three, my spiritual gift, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit, again, through the scriptures and the Word of God, He will make us aware of different gifts that we might have and what we are able to do for His glory. And fourthly, please, seek the guidance and encouragement of other believers. Those that are mature in the faith, you know, those that really, and again, we have a big responsibility to mentor others. And I think that we should be encouraging other believers in the use and spiritual exercise of their gift. And that would confirm it with us, wouldn't it? So there's a big responsibility, a big work there for us all to be busy at. Well, I mentioned about some spiritual gifts that all believers might possess. Now, I have four of them I would like to just put out. There's maybe others that you as a believer would have. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. I mentioned there's a list of gifts. One of the little gifts there is the gift of helps. Well, I've had some say to me, all I can be is a help. Well, yes, that's a gift. That's one of the gifts that are mentioned. And so again, I leave it. If you see a lack, if you see a particular need, you can get in there and just be a help. Okay? A spiritual gift. And I believe every believer would possess that. Okay, number two. And I mentioned this already. The gift of serving one another. Did I mention Aquila and Priscilla? I did. You know, their particular ministry, and you know where Paul went, it just seemed that they were available to serve, to assist, and we have the same ability, every one of us, to serve. In what capacity? Maybe the hospitality, another gift, and it's related to serving. Out of our homes, eh? The gift of serving. Maybe you can see a visitor come to the assembly, to the meeting. Well, you can converse with that person. You can take them out for coffee and socialize with them and bring to them the scriptures, the Word of God. Share with them. It's a service. Then we're all able at some level to be of service to the Lord, of course, to the Lord, but in serving the body of Christ, other believers. Number four, again, these gifts that all would possess, the gift of helps, the gift of serving. Number three, the gift of giving, the gift of giving. I believe that as the Lord has given to us, we are able to share what we have with others. Now, that's a whole big area of stewardship. A little discussion on that this past week as well, that we might be stewards and all that we possess, and so we're able to give and to assist others. Even, I think of that sister that's mentioned, Dorcas in the Acts. Remember Dorcas as she deceased, and they were mourning over her, and they were showing the garments and the thing. She had worked at this, so that she might be able to give and to share with others. And of course, in the story, she's raised to life again back in Acts chapter 9. Okay. Fourthly, the gift of showing mercy. The gift of showing mercy. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 12. I mentioned there you have the list. Romans chapter 12, and I'll just read these verses quickly. Romans chapter 12, and reading in it, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, serving, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, there again, the gift of giving, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And mercy. What a story in the gospel, isn't it? You know, the Good Samaritan, how he showed mercy to one in need. And we, as we look out, we can see others, and we likewise can show that mercy. Well, time is gone. Let me conclude by saying what Paul said to Timothy, in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy, these two references. We won't turn to them, sake of time's gone. Here's a quotation. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 4, Paul would say to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in you. Don't neglect it. And then in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, he would say to Timothy, stir up the gift of God. And if I could just shout it out, if I could just share this with the believers today as I conclude, don't neglect your gift. Stir up your gift. Stir it up into flame. Use it, and God will bless you in turn.